the takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris Perry. On the far end of the Trail of Tears was a promise. That's how Justice Neil Gorsuch began his July 2020 opinion in McGirt versus Oklahoma. In that decision, Justice Gorsuch and the court's majority ruled because Congress had never disestablished the Muscogee Nation's reservation. The state of Oklahoma does not have the authority to prosecute crimes committed within the tribe's land boundaries if those crimes involve indigenous citizens. Now, the decision has since been extended to other tribes located within Oklahoma. But even though it's been a year and a half since McGirt was decided, the state of Oklahoma has remained intent on resisting the ruling rather than collaborating with the tribes on criminal justice. Speaking with Indigenous Affairs reporter Allison Herrera last summer, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt had this to say about McGirt.
The solution is Congress has got to fix it. The courts have to fix it. And those are the two things. It's complicated for Congress. So there's going to be plenty of chances for the courts to fix this because it is going to be endless litigation.
State officials have filed 45 petitions with the Supreme Court asking the justices to either overturn or rule more narrowly on McGirt. And this month, the court has considered some of those petitions. For more, I'm joined now by Allison Herrera, who covers Indigenous Affairs in Oklahoma. Allison, it is great to have you back on The Takeaway. All right, this is a pretty complex decision. Can you help by explaining some of the central components of it?
Since that ruling, as you pointed out, there's been some very spotty communication between these tribal nations and the Attorney General's office. Former Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter had a little bit more of a congenial relationship with the tribes. I mean, they disagreed on some things about, you know, how to implement the decision. And then he stepped down. He resigned last year. And then Governor Stitt appointed Attorney General John O'Connor, which he took a harsher stance. And last August, he filed a petition. They filed 45 petitions to the nation's highest court, asking them to do two things. One, narrowly rule that the state has concurrent jurisdiction, meaning they can also prosecute crimes along with the federal government and the tribes when it concerns non-Indian offenders, when they commit crimes against Indian people within the reservation. And then they're also asking the court to overturn the decision. They, as you played that clip from Stitt, said last year that the McGirt decision is the state's greatest challenge. He has said that the decision has created chaos and lawlessness. And he pointed out in that interview that I did with him that there would be thousands of cases that would be affected by this decision. And you know, I found that statement to be rather misleading. And I think out of these petitions, 36 is the number that the nation's highest court has agreed to conference. And there could be a few scenarios coming out of that.
Okay, give me a sense here of what is at stake. To hear the governor say that this is the greatest challenge, that it's created, you know, lawlessness in Oklahoma, right? A place where, I mean, if we start just talking about the death penalty, like, I mean, Oklahoma seems like a lot of things. Lawless is not how I would describe it. So what is at stake? Why such a powerful reaction?
I think one thing is the governor keeps saying this thing that the state needs to have one set of rules for all individuals. And I think that what, from the tribal nation's perspective, he fails to recognize that the tribes say that Oklahoma never had jurisdiction over the tribes. You know, when Oklahoma became a state, there was a thing called the Enabling Act. And what that did was it said, okay, we will accept you into statehood, but you have to agree that you will have no jurisdiction over tribal nations within your boundaries. And Oklahoma, you know, agreed and then violated that Enabling Act. And I think what's at stake when the governor keeps saying that it's created lawlessness and chaos is that he does create an air of uncertainty for all Oklahomans, not just tribal citizens, but all Oklahomans. And, you know, I'll read an article about McGirt and it'll say, you know, prisoner released, you know, due to McGirt. And I think what gets lost in there is that These cases are being picked up by federal courts. The tribes have to date filed thousands of cases in their own tribal courts. In that interview that I did with STIT, I mentioned what's called, known as cross-deputization agreements. That's things that the tribes have with local law enforcement agencies that ostensibly makes it difficult for prisoners to fall through the cracks. You know, you call 911, somebody comes to your house and helps you. And I think, you know, the reason cross-deputization agreements exist is so that that 911 call that you place doesn't, you know, they're not going to say, well, if you're a tribal citizen, you got to call the tribal police. It's like both are deputized to respond to your call, whether you're a citizen or not. And so some of that gets lost. I mean, I think, and I asked him about cross-deputization agreements and he asked me, well, are these people trained? And I kind of had to laugh because tribal police, Light Horse Police, I did a story on Light Horse Police last year. They received just the same amount of their just like your local law enforcement. There's no difference. And so I think what is at stake here when the governor says that it's created lawlessness and chaos is that it does create an air of uncertainty for people, whether that exists or not. And I think the longer that the court takes to grant or review or deny these petitions, it does leave the state in kind of a limbo. And tribes have said, you know what, we are willing to work with the governor. We are willing to work with the attorney general to iron out some of our differences. In fact, the attorney general did have a 35-minute conversation I learned last week with this Muscogee Nation's acting attorney general to talk about some things. I don't know quite what it sounded like, a very cordial conversation, but I think the tribes are willing to move forward in that way. And they feel that it's the governor's office that's resisting those attempts at negotiation and a way forward.
So the courts are considering right now, what are you watching for? And do you have any expectations?
Well, so they could do a few things. They've agreed to conference 36 out of those 45 petitions. The state has asked them to overturn the decision altogether. The second, they have asked the court to narrowly rule that they have concurrent jurisdiction under the General Crimes Act. And so the court could grant a review of the post-McGirt petition. And then again, we'll enter a period of renewed uncertainty. And then they could deny these McGirt petitions. And then what they did rule, the Supreme Court did deny three what were called post-Wallace petitions. And those petitions, these defendants had asked the court, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals made a ruling last year that said McGirt only applies after July 9th. And so these defendants were challenging that decision, saying, no, it should be retroactive. But the court denied those petitions. So that lower court ruling stands. And then the court could carry over the petitions. Again, that's another period of uncertainty. If the court denies the petitions, then presumably the rulings, you know, it's put to bed and that this is the law of the land. I mean, tribes say this is the law of the land anyway. But just because they grant, if they agree to review these petitions, doesn't mean that they're overturning the decision. What it means then is that it has to go through a merits phase. They have to go and argue before the Supreme Court. And then that ruling could kick into next term. So again, a period of uncertainty for citizens of the state. And I think that tribal citizens, Oklahoma citizens, I think they feel like they deserve to have closure on this issue. Or, you know, I could see if the court denies the petitions and says, no, we're not going to hear them. I could see the state filing more petitions in the next term saying, well, you got it wrong still. We're going to deny these petitions. Whether or not the nation's highest court has any patience with that, I don't know.
Yeah, he did say to you, endless, right? Just absolutely endless.
And he did say litigation. That. You're right. Endless, yeah. Litigation. It's been a long time since I've listened to that interview, but that does exactly sound like what he wants to do. And I think, you know, Oklahoma citizens are, you know, really feeling the surge of the Omicron wave, this wave of the pandemic. They're really exhausted with the people I've talked to have felt like, let's just move on. Like, you know, let's just accept the law and move on so that we can have some certainty. You know, tribal citizens obviously feel really offended by STIT's messaging that this has created chaos. And one thing I did want to mention is that, you know, when I originally interviewed him in the summer of 2021, he said that there was going to be like 76 to 100,000 cases that were affected by this. And I scratched my head and I'm like, well, where does this number come from? You know, there's not that many people in the criminal justice system right now as it is. And remember that that ruling only applies to counties that were affected under the McGirt decision. And so myself and the Oklahoma Media Center, we asked the Department of Corrections for some data and found that actually it was 235 inmates within the Oklahoma criminal justice system that would be affected by this decision.
Allison Herrera covers Indigenous affairs in Oklahoma. Thank you so much for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.